Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. And this is our Monday special presidential election episode. And just to be clear, I'm at a point, as I was looking at it, I really need to take the time to kind of put everything up and, you know, put everything up on the website so that we can kind of look at what I've got up there. Because I don't have a campaign manager, and I'm not really running for president, but I'm really am trying to address all the issues. And so we've already covered, you know, the domestic, messaging to the states, that type of stuff. We've covered the finances, and we're going into foreign affairs. And a big, huge part of it, we also covered the defense, our national security stuff. And I'm not sure. I think we covered. So we have to go through this, and I need your help. I need your help because if I'm missing something, then please let me know what I need to, you know, cover, what I missed, or what have you. Because I want to have a really comprehensive message that everybody can take a look at and you can share with others. I mean, I don't care if you point it to the website or if you download it. And because what I'll end up doing is I'll put this in a PDF so that, you know, the bullets of everything into a PDF so that, you know, you can actually start sending this out so everybody can start realizing how great life would be in America where we didn't have a government that was manipulating us as a part of the world and moving us all to become subjugated. America has become, well, just because we were literally co-opted by the British and this globalist alliance back in the 1870s, this basically put us into the driver's seat of helping the world move to communism. Believe it or not, the folks didn't even know what they were doing. You know, it took generations to unveil all of this. And as a matter of fact, you know, I'll just say this. There's no way in heck the good people that started helping the Fabian communists do what they were doing because they were ideologues. They said, oh, this is what we really need to do. There was no way in heck they would have really gotten on board if they were able to connect all of the dots that this would lead to, because and especially they wouldn't be working with these people. They probably would have turned them in because these people were vile. These Fabians, I don't know the names, but I do remember reading about some of the key leaders of the Fabian Society that came to America. They weren't just practicing homosexuality. They were practicing every form of degeneracy possible. And as a matter of fact, it was a part of the rite. You know, when I say rite, like a religious practice, because these people were evil. And they had to keep most all of this secret. Well, they did keep most all of this secret for the longest time. And as things started getting exposed, when, you know, they actually found the documents and records of some of these people and some of their correspondence and so forth, it was just like, wow, this was very revealing. But there's no doubt in my mind that if people saw the full evil that was behind all of this, they would not have gotten involved. They would not have gotten involved in such a destructive paradigm as globalism and this Luciferism or this Satanism, whatever you want to call it, folks. There's just no doubt in my mind. So they have to actually keep things kind of secret, and they have to kind of creep along and get you to accept a little bit more than they show you more. And it's only when they have full control over you. In other words, when they've got you so compromised that there's just no way you can break out without killing yourself, without, you know, basically opening yourself to be killed by them or what have you. it's kind of dark. But anyway, back to the presidential, the positioning and everything else, the fact of the matter is they infiltrated government. You know, they successfully infiltrated government in the 1870s. Now, these people did not know what they were doing, and these people helped open the door to this little league or army of educators that came into America completely unfettered and came into America and actually started teaching everybody collectivism. So if you want to go back and say, oh, well, this generation was the last good generation, most people don't go back far enough, because you actually have to go before the Civil War to really get to that point where most people in America did not know what they were doing. Like John Marshall, he had no idea. And there's no doubt in my mind he's rolling in his grave for being one of those who actually poked holes in the levee that, you know, constrained the, you know, the waters of government. So anyway, this is kind of difficult for me to go through all of this stuff, but I'm here to tell you that we have, we'll put this up, and we want to have a comprehensive policies or a comprehensive campaign view. You know, here are all the issues, here are all the policies, you know, what we should expect from a constitutional president. What we shouldn't expect from a constitutional president is somebody that says we need to control the we need to control our economy by, you know, by raising interest. Or, I mean, they should not be controlling our economy in any way, as you've kind of garnered from all of that. But what I need to do today is I want to actually poke, because I didn't get into this, and actually over the weekend, I don't want to call him a friend. I believe he's a patriot. He claims to be a patriot. And his name, at least, I don't know. You know, Talmadge is a first, last name. I mean, I don't know. Is it a male or female name or what have you? But anyway, as I was engaging Talmadge, he made a comment about, you know, that the revolution began in the 1990s with Bush, you know, basically signing off on this globalist accord. Actually, Bush may have brought things here, but Bill Clinton kept, you know, really got opened the doors by Congress opening the doors with the NAFTA and GATT. Now, here, to be clear, there is no constitutional authority whatsoever for them to actually start doing all of these things, whether they be treaties or what have you. I mean, they have the ability to create treaties for trade, but not to create alliances, not to actually open things up to where we are subjugated by the jurisdiction of a foreign court. They can't put that into a treaty. They have no authority to do that. They have authority to create a treaty over trade. They can, you know, they can actually, you know, agree not to have imposts, but that's all got to end, folks. And we'll get into some of that with our foreign policies today. But what I want to do is I want to lay this out, because upcoming in our Friday episode, which is our Feedback Friday, I will actually get more into the details for a message for Talmadge, this associate. And so what I do want to cover today, just so Talmadge and everybody kind of understands, because I think a lot of people have forgotten, or you have not listened to this show long enough to understand that we have all of the opportunities right now. I mean, Congress could easily, well, so Congress has the authority to get rid of Biden just like that. I mean, if I snap my fingers and you heard a click or what have you, just that quick, poof. Biden would be gone. All they had to do, all they need to do right now is acknowledge that the Congress violated the Constitution. Now, to be clear, there's no laws in the Constitution other than the fact that if you violate the Constitution and you're a sitting senator or you're a sitting representative, you should be removed from office because of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, period. So everybody that is sitting in office, and so this is the reason why they won't do this, because there's not enough people in Congress that are fresh-blooded and that have not violated the Constitution. Because what happened on January 6th was an overwhelming insurrection against the Constitution. And actually, it was the culmination of the efforts by a huge broad effort for the 2020 election. I'm not here to tell you, and I don't support, you know, this the paradigm that, you know, we have to have justice regarding our stolen election. Our election was stolen not because of election fraud and voter fraud. Our election of the choosing of the president was stolen by an unconstitutional electoral college. This is all interwoven, folks, and it all has to do with that pandemic. When every state sent their state legislature home, all of a sudden they said, well, now we need to impose this new process of voting. The Constitution's clear, and there's no caveat in the Constitution that allows a state of emergency to take away these responsibilities. In other words, it says right there that only the state legislatures in Article 2, Section 1, it says that only, actually, let me pull it up because it is that important, right? So let me get my color-coded Constitution, and you can download your copy of this color-coded Constitution. And I have to give credit to John Rowland of, or is it Ron? No, it's John Rowland of Texas. He's a former attorney general. I don't know if the gentleman's still alive. Talked to him, I think, twice. And I don't think we argued. I think he found ways to agree with each other, because he believes in educating. He's the guy that founded the Constitution Society. Constitution.org, that's John Rowland. And it was a great resource for me. That's where I found the ratification debates in the late 90s. This is where I found all sorts of documents. And at that point in time, I was working so hard. I was going to school. Eventually, I went back to school. So I didn't have the time to just immerse myself in all of this stuff. But, you know, originally I agreed with him. But in our initial conversation, his view was America needed to get educated. But nobody knows how to do that. And so this is why First Amendment petitions are so critical, because this is how we teach people. And what I did was I took, because he had a color-coded constitution, and it was based on, you know, they have not updated it in years. So what I have done is I've updated it, and I've converted it and added some colors and so forth. But anyway, this is what Article 2, Section 1 says. Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress. Okay, and I'm going to stop right there. So when we look at how the presidential election must be done and handled, you know, we know that in Article 1, there is this control of the time, place, and manner, that the states have this responsibility. And we also know that Congress can do it, but they can only do it when the states are incapable of it. In other words, they can't even step in and say, we're gonna, you know, pull our power over you, and we're just going to go ahead and set this the way we want to do this. They can't do that. And it was clear in the ratification debates that the whole purpose of that second clause of setting that time and manner was only in true crisis, when martial law had been declared because of one of two things. It didn't have anything to do with the execution of the laws, but it had everything to do with either an insurrection being going on, an upheaval like a revolution, and or three, the second thing, I should say, out of the three for calling forth the militia, because bottom line, they have to call forth the militia before they can declare martial law. See, they don't have the privilege of just saying, we're declaring martial law. And as a matter of fact, in 2020, Trump did not declare martial law under the militia. When this insurrection over George Floyd was basically ravaging all of these states, or actually all of these population centers. So Trump's ignorance on the Constitution really opened him up for his own defeat, if you understand what I'm saying. And, you know, I mean, here's how brazen, and emboldened the enemy is when they actually come up to you. Like Fauci basically said at the beginning of President Trump's reign, he said that this president is going to have to deal with a pandemic. And so this is, we're covering all of this. We're placing all of this into this petition because you can't look at all of the evidence and see how everything else we're doing or everything else that was done was not a part of this plan, this conspiracy of basically killing a lot of people by having a pandemic supported by our own government and paid for by you, the taxpayers. But anyway, back to this presidential election snafu. There's no clause in Article 1, Article 2, or anywhere in the Constitution that allows the states to say, because they've declared a state of emergency, they don't have to follow the Constitution. Therefore, in 2020, when the states changed the manner in how they were going to choose their electors, in other words, they went from a polling places to a mail-in ballot. Only the state legislators have that authority. Only the state legislatures, those same people that were basically dismissed by the power and authority of the governor, by this unconstitutional power and authority of the state governors by sending them home. Because, oh, we've got a pandemic, we're going to send you home. You guys might get a sniffly and a coffee, you know, a little cough and so forth. And actually, there's no doubt in my mind, COVID-19 was it is a plague that has been unleashed on the world. There's no doubt in my mind as we look at the ramifications of this one plague and how our federal government has its hands in this entire pot. They got blood on their hands big time. And you're going to love this medical freedom petition we've got coming. But bottom line, 31 states actually crossed the line and basically changed the manner of how they were to choose their electors. Washington State didn't because they already had this corrupt system in it by using all mail-in voting and all of that. This is the corruption of our voting system. You know, Stalin was the one that said, you know, the voters do not decide the outcome. Those who count the votes decide the outcome. In other words, Stalin had already laid it out there. And if you really look at the quotation, there's a lot of people that misquote this. And what Snopes or whatever, you know, these idiots, these leftists that spin for everybody, they take, you know, the quote, the citation. He never said this. And they kind of just lead you down this path that, you know, whoever's saying this is misleading you. When the reality is, it's just a miscitation. He said something very similar, but bottom line, if you look at what he said, and I actually put it in an email to a gentleman who's been involved in this, and so I'd have to look it up. And you know what? During the break, because we got a break coming up in about 5 minutes, I'll look it up and I'll give it to you. But my point is, in providing this message to Talmadge, you know, this whole thing that we're dealing with has nothing to do really with January 6th. It had everything to do with the final, we're looking at the final blows from the Agenda 21 into where we are today. That has been the emboldened, basically they're already in our face. They may be televising this just to prove how stupid and how ignorant we are. But the revolution itself, because they believe they own us. this is no longer a revolution. These are the final blows of basically, what do you call that? In basically harnessing and subjugating the whole world. That's what we're seeing. This is not a revolution. This is the final blows from their over 150 years of attacking us, almost 200 years. That's definitely 150, because well, if you do the math from 1871 to 2021, well, how many years is that? That's 150 years. And that's when the Organic Act was passed. So, and it's kind of ironic, right? 2021, and in 2021 on January 6th, all of those folks that went to D.C., they were all misled by controlled opposition. So this is my warning to you, Talmadge, and everybody else out there that is getting involved in supposedly the resistance against the deep state. If your position is that, you know, we have to revolt, we have to have these rallies, we have to use some type of, you know, whatever, even if it's, you know, any kind of deadly force, you're sadly mistaken. We will never win this final battle. We have to use civility and we have to use the law, which is why I told everybody, if you're going to January 6th and that rally, you are in harm's way, because the Constitution does not authorize you to protest. It authorizes you to petition government, and how the whole world has been turned upside down. Bottom line, what happened on January 6th, the insurrection was in Congress as they were accepting an unconstitutionally formed electoral college, and they violated the Constitution by locking down D.C. and locking down the Capitol. I'm telling you, they locked down the Capitol, where clearly the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people to petition government for the redress of grievances. And so this whole defense of what had happened, who did this, protesting, you know, this bottom line, nobody has shined the light on the First Amendment right violation where Congress locked out the people. They have no business locking their doors while they're in session by not allowing the people in. And as a matter of fact, there have been plenty of times in the history going all the way back to, I think, 70 or 80s, where I think it was Black Panthers that actually went into Congress with guns in their hands. Why is it that that was okay? They knew that was coming, but when it was good Americans, moms and dads, that were at a rally, then they locked the doors and somehow they opened the doors and they let them in. And then they came after everybody in this staged... All I can say, folks, is everybody's being duped. And your controlled opposition leaders are duping you because they're not teaching you about your right of First Amendment petition. They're giving you a little bit of information and they're getting you spun up so that you can go off and put yourself in harm's way. And Talmadge, I get it. I understand how you are very, very guarded so that you don't be called out as a January 6ther. Or somebody in that same mode as, but we have a right to demand the Constitution be adhered to and the Constitution be complied with, because they all take a legal oath to do this. This is why this show is the only show that covers exactly what we have to do and why we have to do this and how this will work. Because this helps educate everybody. This helps get everybody very focused on how the Constitution is being violated and what government has to do, what your county and your state government must do to overcome all of this. So when we come back, we'll get into, because I've got 10 seconds left. So we'll get into the presidential election after I kind of do kind of a recap of what I want to cover, what I'm going to begin covering on Friday for some feedback. And I think this is just important for everybody, just due to the fact that I think everybody needs to see every once in a while I have to try to create this big picture. You know, there's no 90-second elevator speech, and I know I can take a lot of time going into rat holes and so forth, so I'm going to try to be as succinct as I possibly can on Friday, even probably more so than I was in my first half hour here. So when we come back, I'll just try to recap and then we'll get into the presidential election.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as much of a nutshell I can put this into, my associate, I hate to call people friends, my fellow patriot Talmadge, we have been blessed by the divine hand of providence with an actual government that is a self-government. In other words, it is for the people and by the people. However, it is a Republican form of government, and so it is a shared for the people, by the people, as well as for their governments and by their governments with those delegated powers. I could go into all of the details, but I need to be as concise as possible. Bottom line, within this rule of law, within our Republican form of government, the divine hand built in checks and balances that absolutely protect us to the nth degree. And we have completely turned our back in understanding exactly how this Constitution was defined and how, and this is why we go through the ratification debates. And we're wrapping up the ratification debates probably this week or next week. So for the past 3 months, we've been reading the ratification debates for you. Talmadge, you need to listen to these because this is exactly how the framers, this is not GR, this is what the framers said that Constitution means. And those are legally binding, and we can get into that too. But bottom line, the end begins with Republic Review. You'll find that on reclaimingtherepublic.org. And so all of the details, the argument for this, but this is the end. This is not how it all begins. But most people want to know, well, you know, what's the end of the story? They want to turn to the end of the book and go, what do we need to do? What's the solution? Republic Review. The end is initiated by First Amendment petitions. And that's about as much of a nutshell as I can get it, because it's not until we the people start using First Amendment petitions. And you want to have a curriculum? People ask for training. They say, can you teach us on the Constitution? These First Amendment petitions will do that. And as a matter of fact, when you look at the way we've got this table of tyranny, I'm literally going from the very first line of the Constitution to the very last amendment of the Constitution to show and prove to everybody exactly what the Constitution says and how it's being violated, which is why I tell people you need to use the color-coded Constitution when you're reading it so you can place clear context to the fact that what you're reading right now is being violated. That this is not what they're doing. When it comes to the Electoral College, when it comes to legislation and so forth, this is not what they're doing. So anyway, the transition now, folks, is into these presidential election episodes. And it is not the candidates on Monday. That's what we were covering on Friday. And this Friday, we've just basically going to cover Larry Elder and Trump. And I think I kind of covered that, but I wanted to get into a full summary. So we'll do the summary, and then I will have my special message to you, as well as to Mr. Talmadge, my friend, Patriot Talmadge. So anyway, this isn't the easiest thing to do in trying to create a compendious summation on what a constitutional president should actually do from the day he steps into office to the day he steps out. And so this is why one of the things we're going to do is we're going to put it all together for you, and we're going to put it into a PDF so that you can upload this and you can share this and you can go, what's this guy missing? Is there something he's missing? And I want to take that all that feedback so that we can make sure we cover all of that. And in some ways, folks, there may be ways that, you know, we're covering it, but it may be covered in a different section that when you look at that, it goes, well, that how is that addressing that? And so we may have to connect some dots for you, but that's what's important. You know, if what I have said does not connect dots, if what I have said does not create this clarity, this epiphany, you know, the heavens have parted for you. And believe me, I'm not a prophet, but I'm here to help everybody kind of understand that everything we need is right there in the Constitution. And when certain things occur, then other things just become the consequences of that. But anyway, I'd like to think that I've kind of covered everything, but I know I haven't, because guess what? I'm a man. I have my, you know, failures. I'm an old man. I'm not as old as I say I am, but I'm younger than I think I am. Or I'm older than I think I am. Anyway, here we go. Now, we left off in foreign policies. And at this point, I could easily go over. And as a matter of fact, let me kind of cover up so I can get to where we were last week, right? So hold on a quick second, because I need to do one thing before I can actually do this, because this happens to be, you know, it is the last day of July. Can you believe it? We're already we're smack dab running into what we would call the end of summer, at least for anybody that lives in the northern latitudes. You know, this is the last part of summer. So some of the things that we kind of covered, and I think I want to cover this just for the sake of helping you understand where we left off. We were talking about letting the whole world know that, you know, this debt that they may be holding, these treaties that they may be holding, many of the things that the United States government has done has been done outside the authority that the United States government held. In other words, that they have violated, many of these people have violated the Constitution, many of the presidents, many of Congress, and all the other, you know, power brokers. And, you know, we're sorry that you got duped, but there are two sides to every transaction. If you go and if somebody comes to say, I want to borrow money from you, and you're the American people, or your nation's the bank, you're going to give us money. And actually, we've been giving you money. And we've been giving the whole world money without any strings. We just give. Well, that's how we've been subsidizing. And this is how, you know, we've constantly, and everybody thinks we're over the barrel. But remember, there's two sides to the transaction. Our side has been actually violating the law. Your side has to make sure that what we're doing is within the law. In other words, the whole world has been a part of, because the concept of getting us to violate the law came from foreign interests. Oh, well, hey, can we get in on this too? Can we get, you know, some of the goodness that's coming from America? As we basically put you in a position where we stamp you out and destroy you. And that's how it's been played. So we have to let every nation of the world know that they have blood on their hands more so than we do, because you should never have made, you should have done the due diligence. When the due diligence falls upon your shoulder, you carry the greater crime, right? I mean, when somebody takes advantage of you and you don't take the due diligence to go, well, then who has the greater crime? Especially when we know that your leaders of your country have basically been behind this undermining of America as they've used America to become the champions of the globalist cause. We've been the manipulators of the globalist cause. And actually, the true culprits behind all of this is not America. The true culprits are those who own the hearts and souls of these evil men and women that are behind all of this. And it goes back to, actually, you know, ultimately it goes to Lucifer. But bottom line, as we look at the foreign aid, nation building, regime changes, humanitarian services and domestic services, those are all going to start ceasing. The federal government has no authority to do any of that. Admitting states into the union is what they have the authority to do, to bring everybody to become equally footed as nations under this United States. That means Crimea, Hong Kong, Taiwan. We're going to change the foreign policies of the world, and we're going to destroy all the globalist governance of the world, because either you can be subjugated to the globalists or you can be a free sovereign state in these United States. That will be the big change, and that will be the big, I'll just say, the conundrum for everybody to ponder. Yes, we have done wrong, but not we the people and not our legitimate government. It has been the criminals who have basically violated the oath of office or been, you know, many of these people didn't even know. They just did what they were told. And they didn't do the due diligence, so they bear the greater crime. But let me pick up to where we left off. And so we're basically on the free trade and free trade agreements. There's not going to be any more free trade agreements. We will have open trade, where we will allow open trade to come back and forth. But we will need to restore, and the reason we have to do this, folks, is we will need to restore all of our imposts and impose crippling imposts. We're going to have two different types of imposts. We're going to have a just impost on those nations that have, you know, the goods that are coming in that are basically a part of the globalist companies. But these crippling imposts will be those upon goods or anything coming into America that is either stolen IP from Americans, you know, from American patents, American technology, American IP, and or we're going to have a crippling impost. In other words, the U.S. will impose heavy imposts on globalist companies that place themselves above nations, which to me and to I think anybody with cognitive capabilities will realize that when corporations and companies place themselves above nations, then they become a direct threat to both the sovereignty of nations of the world as well as the sovereignty of the people. So these two crippling impacts are really going to be on all American companies. In other words, if GM, if HP is making a product and they're shipping it back into the United States, we're going to have a crippling because we're going to use those imposts to rebuild our manufacturing. America is going to actually be leading the world in manufacturing again. You know, it's been a while since we've done that, but and we're going to actually get into and we'll eventually be able to compete with the world, and we are going to outcompete because we're not going to be supporting collectivism in America. We're not going to allow the parasitical disease of the unions to drag us down. You got to remember that the American automobile manufacturing and these companies, they were crippled by the unions. The union has actually crippled America and forced us to actually export our technology, our manufacturing, and everything else because we had to compete. They had to compete. And that's only because everybody was supposed to get an equal wage. Everybody deserved an equal wage. No. And as a matter of fact, I've mentioned this before about, I think it's Jack Welch of General Electric, how he would go around and lay off 10%. At the end of each year, he would lay off 10% of the workforce, the entire company, executives and down. everybody, if you weren't operating in your highest capacity, and you know that was it. Most people looked at that as just a ravaging policy that just, you know, raided the company of talent. Well, actually, what it did, and it became a problem over a long period of time. When I say a long period of time, it was more than 5 years. That they finally got to a point where General Electric was became a very profitable company. Very profitable. Because everybody in the company was actually performing. You know, and you're not guaranteed to a job anymore. And so everybody was looking over their shoulders to ensure. But that's the paradigm we should always have. That is the paradigm. And as a matter of fact, the majority of those guys that got laid off went off and did better, and they worked harder for other companies because they had this instilled into them that they had to produce. They had to be there. They had to work at an optimum level. You know, I know it's nice to be able to say, I can work at a minimum level and I don't have to worry because I still got food and I can enjoy my vacations. You know, life isn't about vacations. Life is about, you know, doing what we have to do to, you know, to basically provide for our families and teach them to walk in the ways of the Lord and to do those things that is best for society. It's not what's best necessarily for the individual. We need to be disciplined. An enlightened society is disciplined. They're not chasing vacations. They're not saying, oh, well, look at what I've done. They're actually a disciplined society. Doesn't, you know, what's the best way to say this? Because I know a lot of people, you know, have opulent, you know, like yachts and golf and so forth. That is an opulent society. When you look at ancient Rome, when Rome became so opulent, and they were just giving gold out to the people, and the people were just constantly engrossed in the, you know, in the Colosseum and Circus Maximus, you know, because everybody had to be entertained, because that's when Rome reached and it capitulated. Because why? It didn't have the discipline in producing. It didn't have the discipline in leading. It got to a point where it literally leaned on its heels, sat its butt down, and lived on its laurels, and you can only live so long on your laurels. We all, you know, from birth to death, we all need to be contributing. If we're not contributing, then what good are we? So, you know, I know maybe I don't have the high listenership, because there's a lot of people that need gold stars, and there's a lot of people that need, you know, their encouragement and come on, you know, it doesn't matter if you, you know, the space outside the rim of the basketball hoop is equally valid as the space to the center of it. In other words, it doesn't matter if the ball you shoot up goes through the hoop or not. What? Yes, it does matter. Everything matters. Don't think that everything is just, you know, it's okay. It's not. So we need to actually act and be very heavily handed on exporting and importing technology. This is the other part of our foreign policies. We want to make sure that anything we send out doesn't necessarily benefit foreign nations. What we want to do, because, you know, what's the enticement to become a state in the union if we just give it away? Right? What's the point in getting married if either party is just giving things away? Right? And everybody knows, like, getting the milk for free. And typically that used to be one way. But we've become so perverse, it goes both ways. When some people don't realize that there are those that have the, you know, the highly desirable. And this just shows how evil we've become, because we've got sex slaves and this sex trade and sex trafficking. Because there's not enough people getting their carnal desires being met. There's not enough people, or there's too many people that are not, I should say. There's too many people that are not getting their carnal desires met. And I can't say that any more, you know, frank. And as a matter of fact, my good friend, Aaron Tilbury with the Jonah Society or the Jonah Project, I think it's the Jonah Project, right here in Spokane, because he was heavily fighting, and he created an advocacy organization to, you know, help get kids out of the sex trafficking. And so what he basically said is, this problem will not go away until we actually end the demand. The demand is only getting worse and worse and worse. And what is happening is, because we've become, you know, such an opulent society, that even what we're getting isn't enough. You know, we actually, there's some of us that probably remember that there used to be these little sugar cabinets that had a lock on them. Why? Because sugar was a very rare commodity. Well, it was so desirable that we had to find a way to actually make sugar, basically, because if you really think about it, sugar was a treat. And for decades, but actually centuries, I was kind of combining those, but let me actually restate that. For millennia, sugar was one of the rare commodities, and enjoying the sweetness of life was one of those things that, wow, I mean, you really had to, you know, save, because it was hard to get and it was expensive, because it was, you know, supply and demand. It wasn't, you know, in high supply, and to be able to get that. So as we actually were able to simplify and make everything available, boy, how perverted we became, because all of a sudden we became gluttons for sugar. Instead of having, you know, a cookie once a year, we get cookies every day. When we really look at how our forefathers lived, they didn't live with a cookie in hand, or a cookie, you know, every week, or maybe even a cookie every month. I mean, desserts were very special occasions. And the creme de la creme of desserts were cake. And I tell this to people. People don't even realize that cake is the most symbolic of Western society as far as desserts go. Well, why? Well, all the momentous occasions were always marked by a cake, because a cake is the true artistry of dessert, right? I mean, when you look at the presentation for a wedding cake or some type of ceremony, it's not a pie, it's not a Danish, it's not a donut, it's not a cookie, it is a cake, because it is the amalgamation of not just the, you know, this thought of a sweet, but it becomes an artful presentation. And that's why, you know, I guess you could try to make a pie artful like a cake, but cake became the most logical dessert that became a hallmark of the, you know, of the representation of the great events that were occurring. So, my friends, you know, when we really look at how we have gone down this rat hole of, you know, having opulence in our lives, we need to really start thinking about discipline and enlightenment. And a true leader, like the President of the United States, should be actually speaking frankly to the United States to say, you know what, you've got it too good. You need to start, you know, putting away the sugar. You need to start putting away all of these things that, you know, that are making us lazy. We need to start imposing self-discipline, period. And I think most people understand that, and I think most people get that. But when it comes down to exporting and importing of technology with national security ramifications, such as computers, anything that can benefit another country in doing their own production and so forth. Now, I'm an advocate. I am an advocate in teaching a man to fish instead of giving him a fish. But we cannot be teaching foreign nations to fish. We should entice them to become fishermen in the world of fishes. In other words, they should become a state and be admitted into the Union of United States so that they can benefit, so that they can partake, because the only true free trade, the only true free trade, no tax, no impost, nothing, is in the United States. And the way we have changed our policies over time has absolutely opened us to and created these conglomerate corporations that have been raiding us and been manipulating the world along with those globalists in moving us to get every single ounce of energy of our lives for their benefit. Oh, but as long as you get your vacation and as long as you have sugar in every meal, then you should be happy, right? Because everybody's working for the weekend, right? I mean, I'm a bad singer, but you get the point. I mean, how many songs do we hear that we hear about, oh, you know, we're working for time off? No, we should be working because it's good for us. Work is good. You know, is exercise good for your health? Yes. And what is that? That is work. But that's made up work. Labor work, I mean, guys that do labor, how many laborers do you know that actually go and hit the gym? Probably, you know, it's more than most, but most people, they realize that this manual labor, that this is giving me good exercise. It's making me strong. It's hurting me. As a matter of fact, when you hit the 40 years, you know, you probably can't even do manual labor anymore. So hopefully by that time you've become wise and smart enough and educated to where you can actually, you know, be doing executive or, you know, be productive in other ways. That's right. So we're going to make sure that we have zero foreign ownership in any American asset. In other words, Smithfield's owned by China, they don't have any authority. Whoever authorized that transaction, gone. And China knew in buying these assets that they had no authority. Whoever was selling these didn't have the true authority. But they got them. All you got to do is corrupt people to turn their head and actually approve these things. Yeah, let us do this. And we have been sold out illegally. By our very own. So when we actually, you know, start doing all of this, we'll be happy to work with China to say, whoever you corrupted, whoever you got to help you with this, please let us know. We will send them to you so that you can have your pound of flesh out of them. If it was Obama, that's fine. You get your pound of flesh out of Obama, you know, because they're the ones that actually did us wrong as well. And we consider that justice on our end. But bottom line, that person, whoever did it, had no legal authority. None. The Constitution does not have any authorization to allow any foreign entity. As a matter of fact, it is antithetical to the responsibility. I say this all the time. The federal government's responsibility is to protect the sovereignty of the people and the states, not allow them to be sold out to the highest bidder. It would be tantamount to allowing, you know, with the Congress to start allowing Pennsylvania, because they didn't like Pennsylvania, to be sold out to Britain. Oh, Britain's going to buy up Pennsylvania. Are you kidding me? That would be antithetical to the framers' concept, to the divine hand of providence's concept of what the Constitution was designed to do, is to protect the sovereignty of the people in these states. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org
and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.